Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Take Two Tadpog Podcast.
Yeah, we were about to have another, like, complete audio disaster episode, but about 5 minutes in, I happened to look down and be like, oh, we're on the wrong input. So that amazing intro that is just lost forever, we're going to have to try to replicate. I'm not sure that we can.
I don't know either, but... Tadpog Podcast, where two old guys and one still gorgeous lady, gorgeous young lady in the heights and just full rapture of her femininity,
or pregnant ass woman.
Pregnant ass woman.
There we go.
It feels really.
I was trying to staple on. I didn't add enough adjectives last time. I just need to staple on those adjectives.
It feels really weird to redo this intro because it sounds like we never rehearse anything that we do on this show. So it feels like we've had a dry run of this intro. So that's really bizarre because I'm like waiting for the beats. Pregnant ass woman. Step back. Wait for the laughs. Okay, I'm back in.
Talk about old games. And this week is the start of Dave's idea for a running series for probably about the next 5, 6, 7 weeks. We'll let you know when it's over.
Yeah, you'll know because there'll be a book review the title at the end.
So we are going to play through all the, well, some of the games that are particularly mentioned in Ready Player One.
Which is a book by a guy.
Ernest Cline.
Thank you. I don't even know the author's name. I don't read a lot of books. Everyone listening knows that. So this is a big deal. I'm gonna consume a book that we're gonna talk about on the show for another Ship Monday, or a regular Book Friday.
There you go.
That is not fucking happening. There's no way I'm gonna record three in a week.
Okay, I'm sorry. I will always refer to this book as being Will Wheaton's book.
Will Wheaton's book because he narrates it.
That's fair. That's why whenever, like, I told Dave, you're like, oh, Nikki might listen to this then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have we talked about that on the show before? I think you have, maybe, in Manpog. Your Will Wheaton crush?
I don't know. I talk about it a lot.
Your Wesley crush? That one was not in the original intro, so everyone listening, you just got a bonus shitty joke.
When I was trying to get Nicole to listen to the audiobook on the way to Dragon Con, and I was like, yeah, you like Will Wheaton because she's, you know, a big Trekkie. And I was like, yeah, I mean, don't you want to listen to something read by Wesley Crusher? And as soon as I said Wesley Crusher, her face just changed. She's like, fuck no, I don't want to read anything about Wesley Crusher.
Yeah, I heard her going off on Wesley Crusher at Dragon Con. What's up with that?
She likes Will Wheaton, but she just hates the character of Wesley Crusher.
From the episodes that I've seen of Next Gen, he's kind of fucking annoying.
Yeah. He's mocked a lot in Foxtrot. So,
and I know,
but still, he won over my heart. I don't know.
You end up marrying this douchebag.
My poor little 8 and 10 year old heart.
8 and 10. At 9, you were over him, but then you were all back over again.
It was an on again, off again.
That tiger beat came out again when she was 10.
It was a range of ages where initially I was first forced to watch Star Trek, and then
in a Clockwork Orange style
experiment. It's like, yes, Will Wheaton, sexy little boy.
Yeah.
Not how that was supposed to come out. Have a baby.
Child services is going to be waiting at the hospital. Baby's going to come out. Baby's going to be gone.
Sexy little boy.
Why would you say that?
From my young girl perspective.
Oh my God. Well, that's like He Who Shall Not Be Named on this podcast. One of the funniest things he ever told me was, you know, well, he's watching The Professional.
Oh man.
With Natalie Portman. And he looks at me and says, you know, I think she's pretty hot. And when this movie came out, I was the same age as her. So that's okay, right?
Did you watch it at that age? No? Then no, it's not.
Even if you did, you're not allowed to watch it when you're 13. And then like later on in life when you're 30 and you watch it like, it's pretty hot. Well,
I wouldn't watch it now and say that Wesley Crusher was a sexy character.
A sexy little boy. No. I believe.
Let's not dance around that one.
I see you trying to put a more appropriate spin on it. An attractive character. Mm-hmm. All right, better intro. The second one's the better one. I'm glad that we had this mishap. Otherwise, we wouldn't have sexy little boy.
I'm glad we got Nikki in the sex offender registry.
I just did a red dot that shows up now on your map.
No. Well, that's what we're doing. Ready Player One.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting that today by playing Heavy Barrel.
Heavy Barrel.
Which is not one that's played a whole lot, but it's mentioned like several times over the course of the book. And the character, because it's first person perspective from Parsival is the main character. He just gushes about this game. So that's where we're starting. But before we get to that,
mm-hmm.
I'm your bearded host, Tyler.
Hey, Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
As we
tell us a sexy little boy story.
So Kenna, she's growing up, and now she can laugh. She's finally had her first laugh. And what prompted her first laugh is how we know that she's probably going to grow up and be maybe not racist is the right term.
Super racist.
Super racist.
Super racist is maybe the right term.
Or maybe xenophobic. Something she got from Meg. I don't know. But I'm at work the other day and I get a text message in all caps. Oh my God, our daughter just laughed for the first time. I said, why did she laugh at? I was speaking very loud, fake Italian to her and she thought it was very funny. So I was like, okay, do you have a recording of this? Because part of it, I wanted to see the recording of Kenna laughing. The other part of it is I wanted to see Meg going, oh, the pizza pie, oh, spaghetti, oh.
All right, so everyone knows the first time we recorded this, Tyler just, he didn't do an Italian accent. He just yelled Italian words, Italian foods.
I'm going to go in, work in, and sleeping, and just, I'm going to make her laugh. Spaghetti, spaghetti, spaghetti.
That's the only thing you missed from the original
laugh, intro. Baby, spaghetti.
That's the only thing that was funnier. Now everyone's caught up.
Yep. Got a racist baby.
Definitely racist baby. Definitely a racist baby.
All Meg, because I'm not racist at all. It's 100% Meg.
I was hoping that her first laugh would be listening to Tadpog. You know, I kind of hoped.
That'll be her first cringe.
Definitely.
When I talk about the church basement and my daughter gets to hear that.
Might not be her first cringe, but it's definitely going to be her deepest cringe.
It'll be the cringe she has in the car with her friends. Like, hey, guess what I found? Play.
My dad used to record a stupid show about video games. Oh, and butthole touching.
Aunt Nikki thinks little boys are sexy.
Which would be appropriate because at that age they will too. What's up, Internet? I am Dave, and although this is the second recording of this intro, I still don't have an intro story. I'm stretching for like a sexy boy story. Do I have a sexy boy story?
Do I think there are any sexy boys?
Man.
Devin Sawa, he was a sexy boy.
Who are the sexy
Casper,
boys?
He grew up into a weird-ass looking
yes,
man.
Yes, he did.
Casper?
Yeah.
From Kids or like the Friendly Ghost?
Casper the Friendly Ghost with...
But he's just a dead
the movie
kid.
With Christina Ricci.
Christina Ricci.
But he turns into a real kid at the end.
Yeah.
And that real kid is Devin Sawa.
Yeah.
There was a live action Casper movie?
No wonder you get that joke I made the other week.
On the show?
I thought you'd seen that. No, in Josh's D&D game.
What'd you say?
Whenever we brought that guy back to life with a potion...
Yeah.
I made a Casper joke.
Oh, you did?
That's how they bring Casper back to life at the end, is like this old magic potion they put in a contraption.
Spoilers. I literally just said I haven't seen the movie.
And that's your Netflix cue.
So what joke did you make that I missed?
It was just because we gave that ghost a potion that turned him back into real life. So it's like, this is like fucking Casper all over again.
Oh.
Does he look like Devin Sawa? And I looked at you, it's like, Dave will appreciate that joke. Nothing.
Just didn't register? I didn't even know who that person is. I still don't.
He was Idle Hands.
Idle Hands.
Which, no. Little Giants. He was the attractive QB in Little Giants. Oh,
the sexy little boy, you mean?
Sexy little boy in Little Giants. I mean, that movie's littered with sexy little boys.
I'm going to pee on myself. Oh, so that, there, that counts for my intro. You're welcome. Hey, Nikki. What's up?
Nothing.
You're laughing a lot. That's good for the pregnancy, I hear. I just told everyone last episode that, what? That was loud.
You told everyone that I'm pregnant?
I asked you if I could, and you said, yeah.
I know.
I didn't want to do it without asking her. I didn't know if you'd think it'd be weird if I told the internet that that I'm going to be a dad.
You got lots of peoples that listen.
Yeah, all 12 of them, really. Sit there, congratulations. You got a story? It's about a sexy little boy or about Italians?
None about Italians.
Thank God. I was going to cringe if you told one about Italians.
A sexy little Italian boy.
Pinocchio.
I like to play soccer. I could actually complete the story of the Wil Wheaton infatuation.
Do it, please. Okay. I think you've talked about it on Man Bog, but maybe you didn't go into full detail.
Yeah, so I had a complete enraptured love for Wil Wheaton when I was younger, and...
You don't carry a torch for Wil Wheaton?
I guess because he's the audiobook reader of Ready Player One.
Right.
I think we have mentioned that.
Yeah, he's off the market, though, so...
Doesn't matter.
I'm off the market.
It's just a piece of paper.
You've seen enough Hitchcock movies, you know. You know that doesn't matter.
So I decided one year that I was going to write him a love letter and mail it to the Star Trek The Next Generation.
And you brought that letter today.
I wish. I don't know where it's at.
Oh, God, I wish you'd have brought that,
too. I can almost guarantee you that it's somewhere in my mom's house. Probably still inside the typewriter.
Nope. All right, keep recording. Let's go.
We're never going to find that. Nope. Your mom's got so much stuff. Nope. Never going to find that.
Yeah, but I typed it out on a typewriter, made corrections, had correction tape, everything, put it in the envelope, and stuck it right back inside the typewriter.
Why? Why didn't you send it?
I was afraid I would get rejected.
Like, what, did you just send it back? Nope.
No, thank you.
Not enough racist Italian jokes. Rejected.
I didn't have the terminology to call him a sexy little boy.
I mean, the other way is like just as creepy. Like, yeah, sounds good. I'll wait for you. Get that letter back.
Man, Wesley Crusher got a lot of pussy. He did. I've not seen Next Generation, but I've heard on the internet that he gets a lot of sex on the show. That happens, right? Oh, wait, no, that was the guy dressed as Wesley Crusher at Dragon Con who was making out with the chick in the gaming room. I get Real Life and Next Generation mixed up.
I remember seeing that walking by that one couple that was like really going at it down there in the middle of the hundreds of board games. Mm-hmm. You got one couple standing up against a pole just really going at it.
I think I didn't realize that guy was dressed up, but when I walked by, I saw, like, I paid more attention to the fact that the girl had no shoes on and was standing on her tippy toes and just going to town.
What is that called in ballet?
Pirouette?
Toe shoes. Is it? Like,
no, when you go up on point. That's
on
it.
On point?
Mm-hmm.
Here's something about Dragon Con that I learned this year. The reason I know that I'm old, Dragon Con confirmed that I'm old, because this was my fourth year at Dragon Con. And the first year I went to Dragon Con, I was like, what is up with all these, like, let's face it, what's up with these skanky girls dressing up? And then this year I'm like, what is up with all these hot girls dressing up? And then I realized that hasn't, like, the caliber of attendees has not changed at all. It's just that now I am in my 30s and not in my late 20s. And that really changed perspective, I think. I'm more forgiving now.
You take a 4+ cosplay, you can get like a 7 or an 8 just all over the place.
Yeah.
So
that is true. You got to meet Wesley Crusher in the flesh.
Yes, our first year at Dragon Con, in which I was actually very kind of timid and nervous about walking around and experiencing everything by myself, but didn't want to, like, hold anybody back. and just really wanted to do that by myself. But it was a kind of disheartening moment because he was very, very sick.
What was very sick? He was?
He was.
Okay.
He was very sick, like almost like pneumonia-like status and
had good, to wait. Let's play good idea, bad idea. Have pneumonia. Go to Dragon Con. Don't go to Dragon Con. I don't know. There's all those fours in cosplay.
I don't know. But I got segregated into a little group of like 10 people to go in. And unfortunately for me, the first person in our little collection of people was dressed up as one of the fanfic characters called Princess Wesley.
Man, so we have got to get our hands on this fan fiction.
And so he gets like super excited and gets up, comes around the table and like gives her a hug and takes a picture with her all like geeked out. And then
you can't follow that.
Shortly thereafter, I tried to fumble over my, I've been in love with you for like 20 years.
I wrote you a letter with correction tape and everything and I put it back in the typewriter.
Yep.
Goodbye. Yep.
So he stayed seated.
Oh, I'm sorry that didn't work out for you, baby. Oh, man. What a bummer. Aww. What a bummer. I'm so sorry.
Well, his response to that was, well, then I'll see you again in 20 years. I was like, okay. Sounds fair.
You got an awful picture with him, too.
Yes.
You did.
Leaned over a table sideways.
Yeah. It's a really bad photo. I felt bad for you when you showed it to me because like I was like, that is not a good photo. He does not look like he gives a shit about anything in that photograph.
Because he felt like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. That's why.
So you get butterflies in your stomach like when you walked in the room and saw him?
A little bit.
So I did that when I walked in and saw Charisma Carpenter. So I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, fucking chill out, man.
Fun fact about Charisma Carpenter. Mm-hmm. She is who I see every time we record Tadpog because right you have her autographed 8x10 glossy that's right behind you. And I can either look at a brightly lit, beautiful woman or just a silhouetted Tyler.
A silhouette, just red beard. Just, look at me, Dave.
So whenever we record and I say things about, I don't know, the caliber of stock at Dragon Con in a very misogynistic way. I'm doing it while I'm actually saying that to Charisma Carpenter, who apparently does not like being mentioned that she has posted Playboy.
She will not sign any like FHM or Maxim or Playboy in that she's been in, which I almost brought my Playboy that I have. I bought one to keep sealed in the package and the other that would be, you know, the beat off rag. So I almost took my...
You almost took the beat.
You didn't
off
skip
rag,
a beat.
You?
I love that. I was just like, here I am, like, wrestling with whether or not I should say, should discuss the caliber of women at Dragon Con. You just beat off rag. Just rolling, just throwing it out there. That's what I love about you, Tyler.
I nearly brought it and then forgot it. And then when I was checking, I looked up, I was looking at her IMDb, and that was one of her factoids. It's like, all right, good. I'm glad I didn't make a scene.
It's in her IMDb that she does not like to sign.
Yeah, she refuses. Yep.
Interesting.
So, all right.
Heavy barrel.
Yeah.
We're good. We ready to do this yet?
Yeah, we can knock this out.
All right, let's do this shit.
Dave, do you hear that?
Mm-mm.
It's a train.
Okay.
And the noise that it makes is a gleeful Nikki. Over something funny Wesley Crusher has just said.
Oh, the sexy little boy train.
Yeah.
The sexy little boy train. What does that sound like? I don't think that.
Yeah, that one wasn't
that
me.
That one was real.
I love you guys so much.
Why are you snorting over there?
Because it was funny.
You bumping a rail?
If only.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. That sexy little boy snorting train. It of course, harkens in one of my favorite segments of the show, Tyler, which is Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Okay, guys. Heavy barrel, or as it's known in Japan. Kenna would love this, by the way, because we're about to go questionable again with nationalities. Heavy barreru.
That's
what it says. Is a 1987 overhead run-and-gun arcade game by Data East. We're going to be talking about the NES version. Mm-hmm. Terrorists have seized the underground control complex of a nuclear missile site.
That sounds really
and it is up to the player to infiltrate the base and kill the enemy leader. That's pretty much, that's heavy barrel, guys.
It's true. It's true.
That's heavy barrel. That's what happens.
Because I never heard of this game at all.
Nope.
Until Ready Player One.
You own this game. You own this game before Ready Player One?
Yeah. I had no idea I had it.
Because you have an open deal with your father, right?
Mm-hmm. He just brings me boxes of NES games or whatever games that he finds.
Because he goes to a lot of yard sales.
Mm-hmm. And God, I love yard sales. That's where he's got a good job and exclusively buys like his clothes and toiletries at yard sales.
Wait. Toiletries?
He's bought toothpaste and toilet paper at yard sales before.
Who sells that stuff at a yard sale?
I guess if you have it in your unopened, like in a cabinet, like, oh, I'll put that in there for a nickel.
What is going on through people's minds?
He's bought underwear and all that shit at a yard sale.
No.
Yeah. He's like, just wash it first. It's fine.
No.
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 But so he brought me a big, as soon as I just took the Nintendo games out of the stack and just put them on my shelf. And then after reading this and hearing Heavy Barrel said so many times, I was looking through my collection. I was like, oh, I have this game. All right. Awesome.
And then you mentioned it to me. And actually, that's why I thought it would be a good idea. So we can just start with Heavy Barrel. And we can talk about all the games that are mentioned in Ready Player One.
It's a really good idea.
So I'm glad that you found it.
I'm glad that you came up with it, Dave.
Oh, yeah. That's sweet. Nikki, we're glad you're here, too.
Mm-hmm. Aw, thanks. I so feel the love.
But I, sitting there playing this game, I enjoyed this. I like this more than like Contra, which is kind of in the same vein.
Not burying the lead at all.
Nope.
I liked it, too. I liked it more than I thought I was going to like it. This is a game, I wish Nicole was here so that she could go ahead and use her phrase that she coined herself. This is a shoot shit game.
Mm-hmm.
Very much a shoot shit game. You move, there's shit on the screen, and you shoot it. And then you move again. More shit appears on the screen, and you shoot it. So it's very much a shoot shit game. But what I liked about it is it's not a bullet hell game. And it's kind of slow. It's kind of like, now, granted, I didn't beat this game,
mm-hmm.
but like compared to Contra, this game is pretty easy.
Yeah, I think the difficulty is like, I think it's pretty on point. Like, it's not frustratingly difficult. You don't have to have a code to get very far. It's just like, had we played this another hour or two, I think we could have beat it. Yeah.
And I thought the two-player was fun. Mm-hmm. I didn't try the single-player, so I don't know how that... Well, I kind of did.
Yeah, I mean, you were playing with me on the two-player, so you totally played.
So you were out pretty early.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is this your kind of game? Is this what you would normally play on a Nintendo?
No. I'm more strategy, single-minded. I can't do the games where you have to progress through, especially as a team effort, because I'm a button masher.
I think even with the simplistic buttons
that are on an NES controller,
not many.
Worst.
They're both these buttons.
I know.
How am I supposed to know to do something different?
I get overwhelmed with the keeping up with somebody else and trying to get points as well. So I end up not paying attention to which person I am. And yeah, I get killed.
I think that happens to the best of us, though, mm-hmm. I think. There are times, like, this is the kind of game. It kind of reminds me of when we were way, way back when we were talking about Final Fight. Please no one listen to that episode. Because I sure as hell haven't.
That was the first episode we had to completely re-record.
Yep. We lost that one completely. That's probably a good thing. It's probably better the second time around, mm-hmm. much like the intro to this episode. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where Heavy Barrel is kind of a mindless game because you can zone out, play it with another person, and just kind of talk to them. And it's kind of weird. I never referred to it this way, but like Heavy Barrel is like an open up to me kind of game. Like it's the kind of game that I think, like, I'm sure teenagers in early 20s, people in the 80s when this came out would be like, we're gonna have a few beers, play Heavy Barrel with a friend, and I'm just gonna tell him what's wrong in my life.
Yeah, because it distracts you enough to take away any awkwardness, and you can just talk.
Uh huh.
Pretty good, pretty apt.
Especially since it's got a slower pace.
Yeah. And where you can actually think mm-hmm. about what you're going
to
say.
And there's mm-hmm. no break in it. So there's no like level scream where you have to stop. It's just, it's one continuous cycle.
So heavy barrel, social crutch.
Yep. Because you're like first player's red, second player's blue.
You're either red or blue. And they, I think the decision's super important because they're so distinctly different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One is like Sylvester Stallone dressed in a red jacket, and the other is like Sylvester Stallone dressed in a blue jacket. It's
very different.
One throws a red grenade, and the other throws a blue grenade.
Because, yeah, you have a shitty gun with infinite ammo, and then you start off with like 50 grenades.
Mm-hmm. A lot. That's
As
a
you
lot.
Progress through, you kill green enemies that just kind of run around.
Yeah.
Like you might be interrupting their jog. I don't know, because they're just like, they just run back and forth.
They're in their fatigues. They're doing their daily routine.
You're just minorly inconveniencing them. That's all.
Because Matt, this reminds me. No, I'm going to save it. I'm going to save that for something else.
Oh, man.
I'm going to save that for something
else. You can't tease us. Is it a sexy little boy story?
No.
You can't hold on to that shit, man.
It's a overweight kid being made to exercise story.
Oh, that's a good intro.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're running back and forth. You shoot them, and occasionally red ones come up, yeah. And red ones have what are supposedly keys.
Yeah.
But they look more like old-fashioned bulb thermometers.
It was really... Here's what I liked about this game the most. Is that it's been so long that I had a conversation with a friend while playing a game where we discuss what the thing we're picking up might be. That took me back to being like 7 years old because I was like, what are these things they're dropping? And you're like, I don't know, thermometers? I'm like, maybe they're keys. We don't know. We're just going to figure it out.
But yeah, they're keys that will unlock treasure chests that are scattered throughout the level.
Think I noticed that as you're going further through the level, it starts to show and appear... Make actual chests appear when keys drop.
Yeah, they seem to be coordinated.
I didn't even notice that.
Because you seem to kill the guys in red fatigues that drop the keys around a group of chests.
Yeah.
So then in those chests you will get weapon upgrades or I guess maybe just points. So notice sometimes nothing happened. Or you get parts for the heavy barrel.
Right. Which is a giant gun mm-hmm. that you're constantly constructing. Which we managed to construct once.
Yep, you managed it. You did it once. Which it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's just like a big bazooka that just shoots an even bigger energy dot across the screen.
Yeah, it looked like you were actually holding a missile on your shoulder. It didn't look so much like a gun. Like, it took a moment where I was like, what is that? And then also, this happens to me every time in a game where I get like a really awesome gun. Like, I just die instantly. Where it's like, all right, we made the heavy barrel, and like you construct it, and then there's like this awesome little voice clip for which is rare for NES. It's like heavy barrel, kinda. You can't really like if the name of the game wasn't on the cartridge, you have no idea that this bleep and bloop was saying heavy barrel. But because you know what you're playing, you're like, that means heavy barrel.
Take your mouth and just shove it full of Oreos. Uh-huh. Now say heavy barrel, and that's about what it's like.
And then do it like you're Italian. Yeah, that's exactly what it sounded like. That was good. And I got it, and then I got excited, and then we got to a boss, and it was just like, boss just shot me, and I died.
Like twice you were like distracted by your new weapon you just got suddenly, where it's like you pause to try to figure out what the fuck is going on.
What the fuck is that? And it's gone.
The complete change in the ammunition just throws you off because all of a sudden it's like, is that coming from me or somebody else? Like, are there 18 other people coming around that are shooting me?
Complaint about this game is you don't know what's going to hurt you and what's not going to hurt you.
It's really hard to tell. I like to use the logic of if it's moving, it's probably going to hurt you, but that is faulty logic because not necessarily. Because
minecart explosions do not hurt
you. Do not. Go ahead, but then the do not hurt column.
But as Nikki said, balls of electric yarn being hurled at you will hurt you.
Definitely. Always.
And they apparently kind of look like ghosts when you're inside the building.
Well, that's what ghosts are. Inside a building, they're ghosts. You never see a ghost go outside because they look like electric yarn, and it's just silly.
Maybe
because they're becoming all unraveled.
Maybe we just solved the mystery of what are ghosts.
Oh.
I think that we just did.
Sorry, Nicole, you can stop watching all your Ghost Hunter shows now.
Just electric balls of yarn.
Although, really, once you're progressing through this island fortress, a lot of the time you're just shooting guys. You're on an elevator going up or down, shooting guys off of stairs. And they're just no tactics. They're just jumping off stairs.
No.
In single file, just coming at you.
They are there to die.
They're free runners. They're just going, jumping from stairs to elevators. As soon as they go up, trying to practice for Ninja Warrior, you're just capping them every time.
I love this story where they're just two guys, Red Sylvester and Blue Sylvester, and they've just been told that this is a terrorist base, but really they're just straight up murdering people. They're just people are just trying to jog, and they're just trying to free run, and they're just trying to fly their helicopters around, and these two assholes are just destroying
America.
It's actually an innovative base for a scientific company who is coming up with all these fun new things, because late 80s, early 90s, okay, so there's the blue jetpack guys that spit snowballs at you.
They shoot snowballs. I was excited to see a jetpack, I'm not going to lie. It really brought me back, because you just don't see that in video games like you used to. Mm-mm. Jetpacks and lava.
Rocketeer ended the whole jetpack fad.
Yeah. Those are two things you don't see so much anymore. That makes me sad.
Yeah. We didn't see any lava in this game.
I also didn't finish it.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing any lava because I got a little further and I didn't beat it. But then I had to watch a video to watch someone beat it. And I don't remember seeing any lava either. Mm. So I guess not really a good free-running platform, all that lava.
That would have been really awesome, though, if like at the bottom of the elevator there was lava that would come up through the grates if you waited too long. Well,
doesn't that just add some like...
I mean, they should have some sort of protective measures. I mean, if you have to go down an elevator and then across to go back up the elevator.
But see, they don't need it.
What are you talking about, Bill? Don't put lava at the bottom. That way, if you don't wait, we don't want our people to die. No, I'm tired of people fucking waiting on elevators all day long.
Pretty sure we need that lava under there. I think that adds credence to what we're saying, that this is not like a super villain complex. Like, this is just a regular research facility where they're trying to like cure cancer or something, and then like some big villain just came into Red and Blue's dorm room, because let's face it, they're not very old, they're not very bright, and they're like, hey, here's a gun with unlimited ammunition, you each get 40 grenades, see this? Bad things are happening. This is terrorism right here. I'm going to give you a giant red peanut that you're going to fly into this base with, and then you're going to shoot everybody. All right. Bring it on.
Now, why you just said that just now? When you say Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to hearing it together like that. So you think Macho, Sylvester Stallone, you think about something. When you just said his first name by itself.
Looney Tunes.
Sylvester
the Cat.
Looney Tunes. It's just like... Man, that sounds shitty.
Sylvester.
Man, that sucks.
And that's why he goes by Sly.
That sounds marginally better.
It still sounds... If you were a black singer in the 60s?
Sly? That's a good
Sly
name.
Sly and
like
the
a
Stone.
Soul.
Like a soul. Yeah, okay. I know that because Jacob York of Wolf Fighting Fame put that on some D&D mix I asked him to a long time ago. Otherwise, I'd have no idea what that was.
I don't. I'm trumped on music trivia.
I can't pull any of that out of my hat right now.
You don't want to sing some of that for us?
It's not coming to my brain. Mm.
See, I think you'll enjoy all the movie, I mean, not movie, all the music, 80s music and stuff references in Ready Player One.
Man,
they get increasingly important.
I know we're not talking about the book yet, but I will say, anyone on the fence about whether or not you should read this, they had me on like the very beginning of the book. I imagine if I was reading the book, it would be on page one. There's a Ghostbusters reference just like off the bat, just right off the bat. And I was like, yep, all right, I guess I'm gonna commit to this. See, if Wheel of Time would just do that. Like, if Wheel of Time opened with like, get her, I'd be like, all right, I'm in.
The Wheel of Time, as days come and go, and when someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
All right, I'm in. Man, this is Robert Jordan.
But there aren't really, like, you see bosses, but they're not super powerful. It doesn't usually take long to take out a boss. You just have to be proficient with grenades.
But they are.
Which we're not. They're kind of hard to do, but.
Oh, I've sucked at it.
The videos I've saw are, like, people have mastered that grenade, and they just take out bosses and 15 seconds. Like they just walk around and just perfectly arcing those grenades to hit it, blast it, take it down. That's it.
Tyler, you were trying to give me like, you were giving me really good intel. Like, cause you would watch these videos and like, just throw, stand on the side, stand in front of it and throw grenades. And then like, I tried to do that, but like, I couldn't fucking hit it. Like I would go to throw it. And it's like one of those things where like, you're trying to get in the back passenger side of a car and it keeps moving up. Like kept doing that. Like the grenades just barely weren't hitting. Like I would throw them and then the tank would just be like, I'm just going to move back a little bit. Damn it. And then I'd move up and it'd shoot me. I'd respawn, stand in front of it, throw it and move back a little bit and shoot me. Fuck.
That's definitely where the playing it for another like hour or two would come in more handy because you're going to learn the patterns of the bosses and when to time that against their ammunition coming out to hit you. So
I think I thought the bosses were kind of hard, but that's like, I guess in comparison to all the mooks that you murder on the way to the boss, because they are not hard at all. No. Like, and it makes it really, I got really frustrated when I would just get killed by a stray bullet, because that would happen where it would just be like, I just wouldn't see one of the snowballs that they shot at me. And it would just like, I wouldn't see it until right before it hit me. It's like, oh, really killed by, thank you, Jerry Seinfeld.
The music I thought was very reminiscent of like the original Mega Man.
I loved the music.
I liked the music.
I loved the music.
Like sort of minimalistic 8-bit. Like I liked it. I thought it was good.
I've got a big question for you. And we may have covered this a little bit, but that big question is, you mentioned that you like this better than Contra. Why?
I feel like, there are certain points, like there weren't as many weapon upgrades, because really you only get your infinite gun, the spread shot, a flamethrower. At one point, you got some kind of a blue ball gun.
Yeah,
it's blue ball.
Which Meg's still like, that's not really a thing. I read in Cosmo, that's not a thing. No, we're married, and like, I have no reason to lie to you. It is a thing.
Well, you do have a reason to lie, but it's not you just don't have to use it as much. Yeah.
I'm sure it's not as bad as some guys will say it is, but it is totally a thing.
It's definitely a thing.
It's definitely a thing.
I'm looking at you, Nikki.
I don't know.
I've never doubted it.
I don't know. I feel like, is it like a universal boy code? No. I'm not lying to you. But blue balls.
Yeah, it replaced the grenades. That was what was weird about it. Okay. It replaced instead of a grenade, it shot this like, I guess, plastic explosive or something, and then it just never blew up. It just like globbed onto this boss that was like some kind of weird like treadmill crab like meets crane thing. I don't know what it was. And then like, I swear that thing stole my gun.
I think it was actually Johnny Five.
It was Johnny Five?
Yeah, Johnny
Yellow
Five.
Johnny Five?
Yeah.
I think what really happened is I ran out of ammo as its claw came out at me. And it's because when you run out of ammo on the special gun, it reverts back to your shitty starter gun. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. But the head fiction says that giant crab stole my gun and then ate it.
I eat other metal for sustenance because I'm a robot. Thank you.
Do you think that a lot of people would agree with you that this is better than Contra?
No.
I don't think so either.
I just like the overhead. It's better overhead than Contra. I think it controls a lot better than when Contra flips from side-scroller to overhead. This game is all overhead, but it's from a slightly different perspective. I like how it controls a lot. I like it a lot more. I just wish there was more gun variety and power-up variety and that the levels were a little different, because it's basically you go from like beach to factory, from beach to factory, and that's it.
Yeah, and then when you get to a boss, the sand disappears. I thought that was weird, because you know you're coming up to a boss because you're like, you're traveling on this like sand, I guess you're a beach or desert or whatever, and everything's textured, and then all of a sudden that texture disappears and you're just running on this like flat yellow background. The first time that happened, I thought the game glitched out, because like, what is going on? Are we about to like just march into madness?
Why are we on the elemental plane of beige? What happened?
And then a boss showed up. So I also like this better than Contra, which I know is so weird to say. It's weird to like hear it coming out of my own mouth. Because Contra is a beloved game. Beloved, Tyler. But I'm not good at it. And I felt like I was pretty good at this game, even though I didn't finish it. But Contra, like, It's tough because Contra's a hard fucking game. Like, it's hard to the point where I get to a point where it's like, I don't want to play it. Yeah. It's like, okay, this, you know, I can beat the first level. That's fun. And then, like, this game was encouraging to play. It was like, it was fun to just pick up and play. And it's not hardcore. I think Contra is a hardcore NES game. This is not a hardcore game.
No. So it was, yeah, it just made it, it was just a fun experience. I'm sure it could have used more, but for a game I didn't realize that I owned, pretty happy, pretty content.
Your dad did good.
Yeah.
Bring it home to you.
Yeah.
Nikki, what did
he
you
got
think?
Underwear and I got game.
For it not being my type of style game, I thought it was actually pretty good. It was fun to sit and play with you, even though I died almost immediately and got worse the second time.
That's always a good sign, isn't it, when you play a game? Have you guys seen the box art for Heavy Barrel? Let me find it real quick. It's pretty good.
Okay.
Everyone listening, go ahead and pause the podcast. Pull your car over to the side of the road and pull out your little phone and type in Heavy Barrel and just click. I know you're using Google. You're not using Bing. You're not using Bing. You're using Google. So hit images and it'll be right there. It's like the second one. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. There you go, Tyler.
That's some straight up Genesis style art.
It's extremely, extremely of the time.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's better than like the art for Rygar. So,
and this is really, I realize this is really good on an audio, on an audio medium.
Man, look at that picture.
Look at this. Let's look at this.
Oh man.
Beautiful artwork. But I mean, the clouds look so real.
Well, I think that's like nuclear fallout in the background. Okay. Yeah, that's like a nuclear.
And well, then I was going to say it was so pretty.
There are what looks like four missiles coming out. The red guys that drop keys, they're there. They're in the middle. They're really tiny coming out of the two heavy barrel guys. They're coming out of their abdomen.
The Sylvesters.
Yeah, but see, in this art, they look different.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, one's blonde, and the other is, I would say, a sexy brunette.
So this will drive more people to tadpog.com, because they can just go to the show notes and just like, bam, there's the picture.
Sexy brunette.
Yeah.
That's going to be the new search term.
You want to see a sexy brunette? Did you guys think of any achievements?
Yes, I did. But mine's impossible.
It's okay. Most of the ones we do are impossible.
the thing that I came up with is I kept thinking, Heavy Barrel, that's a weird name. And I understand that it's the name of the gun that you construct so that the mildly Italian guy with Oreos in his mouth can say Heavy Barrel. I realize that's a construct for that. But every time I hear barrel and think about it in a video game term, I think I always think about Donkey Kong. Always, always, always. So my achievement is heaviest barrel. And in order to unlock heaviest barrel, you need to clear the cart level of Heavy Barrel without dying once. And the reason being because Donkey Kong Country, the hallmark, the frustrating hallmark of a Donkey Kong Country game is the mine cart levels that are also impossible to complete on your first playthrough.
Yeah, the one I played through was a no death run, so it's possible, but not on your first try. No way.
Oh well, I think it's easier in Heavy Barrel than it is in Donkey Kong Country.
Yes.
I was referring to. I don't think anyone's ever picked up Donkey Kong Country, played the first minecart level right out of the gate, and been like, dup, 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 and done.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm pretty good with monkeys and minecarts.
Nice try, Rare. You got to wake up a little bit earlier this morning than that. Do you have any achievements, Tyler?
I've got three. My first one is roasted, toasted, and burnt to a crisp.
Nice.
You get that by killing 100 enemies with the flamethrower. My second one is Archmage, which that is killing 50 enemies with a grenade, mastering the arc of the grenade. And then my last one is if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Only kill the boss in a level. Manage to run around and evade all the other enemies. They'll just keep running.
Yeah.
So just manage like that's for the hardcore commanders. Like go down there, take out this base, but you can only kill five things.
Stealth run.
Yeah, there you
stealth
go.
Run. I liked all the references in your achievements tonight. That was good. I like that. Nikki, do you have any achievements?
Well, since I said that one boss with the clamps.
Clamps?
Let me give him the clamps.
Yeah, give him the clamps. reminded me of Johnny Five.
Uh-huh.
Then I would say it would be Johnny Five, stay alive. So you have to get past him without dying once.
Oh, okay. Nice. I like it.
I like it.
That's all.
No disassemble being the achievement where you just die at that stage.
When he takes your gun.
Yeah, I unlock that. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun playing a heavy barrel and talking, mm-hmm. talking about it with, mm-hmm. with both of you. But I've got some important questions to ask you. Mm-hmm. The first being, if you were to give this game a beard that just summed up how you feel about it, what kind of beard would you give this game and why?
I would have to give it, I think his first name is John. John Rambo's 5 o'clock shadow.
Okay. Okay. It's
Sylvester Stallone. And they've.
Because that's who you're playing as.
I think if you probably zoom in, like if you take the Microsoft.
Yeah, remember that old
MP3 play, if you do that enough? If you zoom in enough on them, they probably have red and blue pixelated beards. Probably.
Microsoft actually just put us on a do not listen to list because we reminded people that the Zune was a thing. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses that just summed up how you feel a person who wears glasses would feel about the game, mm-hmm. what kind of glasses would you give it?
I would give the character Mikhail from Lost.
Uh-huh.
I would give it his eye patch.
Okay. I think that...
Yeah. It's rumored that he lost it fighting the Soviets, so maybe this is a Soviet free runner base.
Maybe.
Could be.
We really don't know.
So I think I've already given out Snake Plissken's eye patch.
You
so
have.
We got to do a different character's eye patch.
How many eye patches can you name?
I've got to hold on. Let's see, because there's, let's see, the lady from Twin Peaks has an eye patch. There's John Goodman's character from Over the Art Thou.
Nick Fury.
Nick Fury's eye patch.
Plenty of pirates. Just so many goddamn pirates.
That one pirate from Pirates of the Caribbean.
The guy on The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the governor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the governor.
Spoilers.
The skeleton from The Goonies.
Yeah, One-Eyed Willie. Mm-hmm. Definitely One-Eyed mm-hmm. Willie. That's good. That's it. That's all the people who wear eye patches.
That's all the eye patches.
Hold on. Let me pull up eyepatches.com. I think they've got a good list there.
Number two from Austin Powers.
Wow. Haven't thought about Austin Powers in a hot minute.
Try not to. I was one of those kids that said it, referenced it way longer than I should have. So just try to bury that now.
Tadpog challenge, Tyler. Let's, between this recording and our next recording, let's watch all the Austin Powers movies. 3 times, and then like see how many times we can reference and quote in the movies on our next show.
Blake's favorite episode. God, I remember like the movies were still like just dying off, and I go to church camp, and there was one like really hot girl at this church camp, and we were all like in the van going home.
Please don't tell us.
Regretful recall.
This sounds awful. I know it's coming.
Because we were all like talking and laughing.
Oh, no.
We made a reference to that.
Oh, and, Tyler, like, don't do it.
I turned to the hot
don't
girl.
Don't do it. No.
And I was like, do I make you a horny?
Oh, you did it. You did it.
And she just like, smile fades away. No. No, you don't. And I remember I just turn away and try to think of something else to say.
That's awful. That's an awful story. See, here's the difference between you and me. I would carry that around forever. You're like, you can metabolize that and like be like, yeah, you know, whatever. I would like, I would like never be able to say the word horny ever again. Like that would be how I fix that in my mind.
Well, I'm still like, I think I was in 7th grade and she was like a junior in high school. Like I shouldn't have even been addressing her. It's just like, no.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
And Nikki.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to buy this game on Amazon, mm-hmm. I'm curious how much you think you'd pay for it used. It's a little segment that I like to call, how much is this game on Amazon? Tyler.
Can we make this a Price is Right game?
That's normally how we do it. Price is Right style. Closest without going over wins.
I'm good at this.
I know. You're going to go $1. You're going to win. Tyler, how much is this game on Amazon?
I'm going to go with the sticker that was on the game from when I bought it. My dad bought it.
That's no fair. You're cheating.
Well, that might have been.
I have no previous insight.
That wasn't eBay price. That was just yard sale price. I'm sure my dad didn't pay this amount for it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. let's not besmirch Amazon's good credit. Amazon. This is not an eBay deal, Tyler. Please, we have class on Tadpog.
So $5.
$5.
How much it was? $5.
$5. That's how much the sticker said.
That's how much the sticker said it was.
Okay, Nikki, what do you think?
I was gonna say like $2.40.
You're gonna say $2.40.
$2.40.
Not $240.
Correct.
Okay.
So not worth $240.
What? Actual retail value of heavy barrel on Amazon used at the time of this recording is $10 even.
Shut the front door.
Tyler, you take it. And your dad got a hell of a deal. He got 50% off this game.
He probably paid $240.
Maybe.
He probably just went up and said, I'll give you $15 for the whole thing.
I got a safety pin and a button. Sold.
Because in that box, a heavy barrel, Mike Tyson's punch out. Not Mr. Dream's punch out, but Mike Tyson's punch
Mike
out.
Mike Tyson's punch out.
Yeah.
Here's what I like to think. I just came to a realization. I like to think that your dad goes to garage sales with toothpaste. And that's how they end up with it. He just trades them something for toothpaste. And he convinces them that they could sell this toothpaste at their yard sale.
It's like a weird kind of Link's Awakening where our dad goes around and tries to do a trade game. Anybody call us?
Yeah, we got a few calls. We got a few texts as well.
Yeah.
Usually what I do is I like to go in order that they were received. But I received one today that I have not done any research on. I don't know if it's true, but I really hope it's true because I'm going to let this text jump the line.
No one would text us lies.
No.
No.
This is a text message from 580. And 580 says, hey, IGN has a podcast called Nintendo Voice Chat. One episode is the top 100 SNES games. Most people brought their own well-thought-out lists. This is, according to 580, this is what they're talking about on the show. I really want to listen to this episode, but he texted this today, so I haven't been able to confirm. It's too good to hold on to. Most people brought their own well-thought-out lists when they were coming up with their top 100. One jackass just brought in a half-ass list of his nostalgia faves. They got together, debated, and yelled at each other. The jackass yelled the loudest, so he influenced the list a lot. I don't know. I can't confirm that that is true, but my heart says that it is definitely true.
I can see that.
Because this list has been one fucked up roller coaster.
Where everyone attack at 15? Still can't believe it.
Jonathan, we cannot put Sparkster on this list. There's no way we can put Sparkster on. It game breaks all the time.
He's an opossum. Put him on it.
He says it in Italian, though.
He's an opossum. Put your opossum in the game.
So, 580, thanks for sending that text in. I am going to listen to that episode because I really hope that that is a true story.
Mm-hmm. And if they say their names, we could match up on the podcast, if that's the same guy as the same guy whose name is on the list.
Who wrote it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope it was the loud guy whose name got attached to it, because how would you like to be like one of the guys who came in with like a well-thought-out list who had to be like, no, we're not going to put Noah's Ark 3D in the top five. Just not going to. We're not going to do it.
Forgot about that game.
Also, let me just say that that's an eye-opening experience for me, because it's like, I feel like after that, I could work at IGN. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what they deal with, like, I feel like I could probably just, like, any of us sitting here at this table, just walk in.
I could totally work at IGN.
Just walk in and be like,
I know games.
Hey, give me a job.
I have played these five that are my favorite. Thank you.
Take EA's money, give it a 10. These are my favorite games. Doesn't really matter.
Paycheck.
Work at EA. Work at IGN.
So, IGN, if you're listening, we're all open. Just send us your job offers.
I mean, I would have plenty of time to play games if you paid me for that. So I could come up with a more valuable input.
They don't pay me for that.
And I'm
somehow
not a jackass.
Find the time. We did get some actual calls as well.
Yeah.
Hello, Tadpog. This is Dennis. I just had something to add to Tony's question about taints. I think 99% of the time in my life I've said taint as well, but there was a period where I was riding a bike for exercise, and I would come home and look at my wife and say, Jesus Christ, that bike makes my chuckle hurt. I don't know if you get the reference, but I hope so. But anyway, I also had a couple questions. One of them was you guys were talking about the most country-ass thing said on Tadpog, and I wondered what the most country-ass video game is. What is the video game that someone in a fucking Tweety shirt at Walmart, you know, is sitting around playing on their used stained couch in their trailer? And also, just a side note, as a question, is when does it become an orgy? Like, is it threesome, a foursome? At what point is it an orgy? If you guys could help me out with that, you know, I can finally get on to doing what I do, if you know what I mean. Anyway, take it easy, guys. Bye.
Thanks for calling, Dennis.
Yes, thank you, Lord Dennis.
A lot of questions in that one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the reference. I feel either. Like I should. That sounds so familiar, but I'm sorry. I don't get the reference. Mm.
Mm-mm. When I think of Chuckles, I think of a candy.
Chuckles? Like it was like a chewy Chiclets? Candy. Chuckles.
Oh. I think of, was it Chuckles the Clown? Yes. Or Mary Tyler Moore?
That's what I think of, too. Chuckles the Clown that dies, right? Spoilers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. <There's laughs> spoilers that episode.
There's a funeral in that episode. Spoilers.
Mary starts laughing in the middle of the funeral. Spoilers. Spoilers.
It's a classic episode, you guys. Maybe that's what he was referencing. Maybe he's got a funny taint.
It looks like a clown that was smashed by an elephant. And far as the
country game, country ass video game,
I feel like what I'm going to see them playing
is the same that I'm thinking.
I mean, of course, they're probably going to be playing Mario because that comes with the Nintendo.
Oh, we're just making a broad, poor generalization, right? Good.
I also envision Doom for some reason.
Doom.
Yeah.
Okay. Why Doom?
I don't know.
You've got it against PC games.
I don't know. This is the shitty Nintendo Doom.
Oh.
This is the red cartridge Doom.
Oh, yeah. Here's what I envision. One of those deer hunting games that I've never seen anyone actually play. That's how you
Or Big Bass Fishing. Yeah. Would that be? That's a Super Nintendo game.
All right. Look, everyone enjoys a fishing game right now, then, Tyler. Okay, let's. Everyone enjoys a fishing game every now and then.
Do you have the Wii peripheral, the fishing pole?
No,
peripheral?
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah,
but
it's much harder to actually, you know, go fishing.
But I did. I for a moment, I almost bought that Bass Pro fishing game for the Wii because I was like. You can sit there and fish virtually. This is great.
I'm going to sunburn or anything.
No, this is wonderful. I don't have to touch a fish or nothing.
Oh, God. I have such horrible memories of going fishing with my dad because, like, I've always hated it, but he'd always drag me out. And it was always just, like, some weird pond in the middle of, like, a cow field. So it was just huge piles of cow shit everywhere. And I would usually have to end up stepping in one, and then I smell, and then I'm trying to, like, fish in this shitty little pond, and then we do that for like 3 hours, then we go home, and that was like every week for a few years. Fucking hated it.
I don't see why don't you like fishing? I don't understand.
I equate fishing with cow shit. Just the you say one, I think of the other.
I loved fishing. I was the typical girly girl fisher.
I liked fishing.
Went
too.
Out with grandma and grandpa on the boat at the lake, and. Mm-hmm. They baited my hook with all the gross things like crickets and minnows and worms, and then they took off the fish. So I didn't have to, I got to catch. I got to reel.
Yeah.
I got to, you know, hold up my line.
And you were on a boat, fancy pants.
It was a little boat.
You were like, landlocked like me on the shore, throwing my fishing line and gets caught in branches.
We did that too.
Uh-huh.
We did. We would stand on rocks. Actually, we went to the dam and fished
Language,
there a few
please.
Times.
You could tell we're from Kentucky because every one of us said fishing.
Fish. We did. Every single goddamn one of us said fishing. You're right. So I guess
I do not enjoy the activity of fishing.
Neither did I, Tyler.
I like to enunciate fishing.
There was another question in there somewhere. What else? What else did you ask, Dennis? Chuckles? Fishing. And there was something else that I already forgot.
I don't remember now.
Dennis, you asked too many damn questions, man.
Sorry, Dennis.
Sorry. It was probably the best one. If I think of it, we might come back to it. 614 says, Tadpog, lots of exclamation marks. If the Ninja Turtles all released their own solo rap album, what would each turtle name their album? That's a hard question to come up with on the spot.
Yeah.
Go, Tyler.
Leonardo he's in a suit like Notorious B.I.G. with his hand over his stomach, and it's just something like Love and Leadership. It's in the italicized, like, you know, rap. Let's see.
You just painted a picture for me. I loved it.
let's see. Donatello is trying to be serious, but also comes off funny. So it's like him in a lab, and he's making beats in a scientific lab.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something like the periodic table of beats.
Look how you looked around the room.
I was like,
periodic beats.
Periodic beats.
Periodic beats. All right. By Dr. Dre.
And let's see. Michelangelo. Michelangelo's he's hardcore. So he's got full grill and he's up. It's just his face just like snarling. It's just like
that's the name of the album, Snarling.
Pizza and Jams, bitch. That's his rap album. Raphael is I think that's the hardest one. So he's probably he's more like Tupac. So he's just like just him, and it's just his back's, and he's just holding one side down at his side, and he's looking in the other direction, and it's just like, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Well, we are known for being rap connoisseurs, so you think that this would like come to us like super easy?
The Book of Wrath. That's it.
The Book of Wrath or the Book of Raph?
Raph.
R-A-P-H. Either works, I think.
But rap is like bold. And just the A-H just tacked on.
Oh, that's good. That ain't some like demo shit you pick up from the mall from the guy who won't leave you alone.
Oh, God, I hate that. You go out to your car. Hey, man, I got a demo CD. I'll sell you for $15. No, thank you, man. It's good. Come on. I'm going to try to get in your car.
You know I can buy real music for less than that, right?
Not your the CD that just has verbatim and then just has rap written on it. No, thank you.
All right, guys, here's what I'm going with. Here's what I'm thinking. Leo, he's a level-headed dude. And Leo likes to have like some real, he likes to articulate. He likes to inspire with his rap. So I think his is going to be like, just going to be like, I don't know, something like he loves Splinter too. So like, I think he's got real positive raps, you know, like you hear in like foreign countries. Cause like, I don't know if you've heard like Japanese hip hop or like European hip hop. A lot of it's like really positive.
Respect
like,
your elders. Yeah. They go to work.
Exactly. So I think Leo's going to do that.
Bento boxes. Take them to work. That's rap.
We're done. That was it. We can't do better than that. So, yeah, I like that. Leo's, the title of his rap album is going to be Bento Box, Take It to Work. All right, here's the other thing. Donatello, he's kind of nerdy, right? And so, like, he likes old school hip hop. He likes, like, some Run DMC. Mm-hmm. He's in on that jam. So I think what he's going to do is, like, he's going to kind of he's going to spit old school and he's going to come up with an album name that is just you're going to hear it and you're not going to be able to tell whether it came out now or if it came out 20 years ago. So I think he's going to name it like I'm just stalling as best as I can. Probably like something about electronics. Here's what Donatello, the name of his is Does Machines. That's it. Because he embraces how he was presented in the 90s cartoon, and he wants to call back to that. Okay. He knows that his fans will like that. They'll appreciate it and pick it up. He's kind of like the Childish Gambino of hip-hop culture. Michelangelo, I think you're totally right. Michelangelo's like the Lil Jon of rap. So I guess his is going to be like,
instead of what, just pizza, pizza.
Yeah, something like that. But he says it more Italian.
Pizza.
His is just, I don't know. His is like a love letter to the hot and ready pizza. So his album is just.
So it's Blake.
Yeah, it's just titled For Blake. Love, Michelangelo. And I think I agree with you, Raphael. His album's like this super like hardcore, just gangsta rap that's just like the stuff that Nicole just will never listen to ever, ever. And I think...
you brought her up like, who's Nicole's going to hate?
Nicole, I know she does because like when we talk about the Crack podcast, she said, she's like, yeah, I really like it, but I hate the music they play on it. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, I just hate all that gangsta rap that they play on there. I was like, they play gangsta rap on there? She's like, yeah. I was like, I'm pretty sure they play like Kanye West on there. So I guess it's like varying shades of what you consider to be hardcore rap. So that's why I brought her
up. She's an indie girl. So I imagine any kind of rap, she's like, nope.
But you're totally right. Rap, he's like just hardcore thug life. I think his is like, but he's not really articulate. So I think he's going to have something just kind of like a little lame, like to shell and back or something like that. Like he's really going to cash in on that. But what I like the most about it is like half of the tracks on from to shell and back feature Casey Jones. And then like Casey Jones tries to get in on it but no one really, not sure, because he's not a Ninja Turtle. So there's a little bit of pushback. And then I guess Splinter's got to have an album, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe he's on Leonardo's a lot.
Yeah.
Respect your elders.
See, well, I'm imagining Raph and Casey Jones like Dr. Dre and Eminem. So Casey Jones comes in like, I got your back, dog. You know, we're on the streets. And I'm pulling down Garage and crushing Shredder's helmets.
Where do you even... You know how the first movie ended, right? Did not involve a garage being closed on.
No, I mean the garbage. The trash garbage. Factor. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. That was poetic license or whatever. Don't harsh my creativity.
Fucking tadpog. Fish this Jay again. I'm starting to realize I call quite a bit. I'm borderline 5'8" at this thing, but my stuff's not quite that creepy. At any rate, I really appreciated Blowfly Girl. I mean, that stuff's hot. Hot. And I know the Manpog episode's coming up, so what do you think Megan Mickey would like? Should I sacrifice a goat? Or, you know, this is all for tribute. I think sacrificing a goat sounds good, or maybe sacrifice like a towel. I don't
know. Sweet ass towel.
Yeah, I'll figure something out. I'll sacrifice something. At any rate, Dave, congratulations. I just had my first a little bit before Tyler had his first, so it's cool being a dad and everything. And I would greatly appreciate it if you would name your firstborn child after Fish Lips J. Or I guess if it's a girl, you could go Fish Lips Jamie. That'd be great. And if you do that, I'll tattoo your face on my penis. So every time I whip out my penis, I'm looking at Dave.
Thanks for calling. Nikki, do I have your permission? Can we name our child Fish Lips J? Because I would love if someone tattooed my face on their penis.
Write it on this right here. And we'll keep it. We'll keep it on the books.
Yeah? So a solid maybe?
Maybe just Fish Lips.
Middle name? Will you take that, Fish Lips J? Middle name?
Okay, so it's...
Fish Lips Moore.
Legend. Yeah. Wait, what was the... What was the one you were wanting the other day? I know it was a joke.
No. I never joke, Nikki.
Yeah.
Okay. I never joke. I'm always serious.
Middle name,
Danger.
Danger.
Yeah. And you gave me the green light.
Legend, Danger, Fish Lips, Dairy.
Uh-huh.
There
pretty
we go.
Good. It's pretty good.
Okay.
And I was really truthful. And I mentioned in the Final Fantasy Tadpog Football League that you would give me the green light on Danger. And I said, more appropriately, you called my bluff on Danger as a middle name because I don't think I can do that. I don't have the balls to do that. I just don't. We got some more manpog. You guys are doing another manpog, by the way, sweetie.
Yeah.
Okay. That was Fish Lips J.
See, I like to expand the next manpog to include other frequent guest host wives. So I have Nicole and like Becky. If we get Becky good and drunk on White Zen, be good.
I think that'd be fun.
This is appropriate. 615 sent a text saying, because we were talking about the Star Wars movies and worrying about J.J. Abrams not doing any beyond the first, who says, to be fair, Rian Johnson, the upcoming director of the second new Star Wars movie, is a fucking awesome director. He did Looper, as well as Brick, which is one of my favorite movies. I haven't seen Brick. I have seen Looper. I thought Looper was pretty damn great.
Loved Looper.
And I know I didn't realize it was Rian Johnson. Rian Johnson was on, Kevin Smith interviewed him on one of his podcasts. And he seemed like a pretty cool guy, too.
I went to a school with a Rian Johnson.
I think everyone went to school with a Rian Johnson.
And he was obsessed with trains. Like a weirdly quiet guy
and
obsessed
now,
with trains.
Now the tables have turned.
He, I'm sure, listened to Tadpog until Trainsy made his
disrespect.
Departure.
Nope. Yeah.
No more Trainsy. No more Rian Johnson listening to Tadpog. That's what that means. We got another text message from 614 who says, "Holy shit, Tadpog, did you know there's a porn star?" Yeah, that got your attention, Tyler. "That goes by the name April O'Neil." Mm-hmm. Show notes. Mm-hmm. My question to you, 614, is how did you not know that there was a porn star named April O'Neil? I am clearly way more into porn than you are. And Tyler is definitely way more into porn than you are.
There's a few cam girls with various spellings of April O'Neil. So.
Nikki, did you know that there was a porn star named April O'Neil?
No, but it's not shocking.
It's not shocking?
No.
Did you know there was a porn star named Lexington Steele?
I want to say I've heard you say that before.
Are you asking because Lexington Steele is a guy?
Yeah.
You think that? I think that women know more female porn stars than they do male. Just because there's so many more.
I can only name three male porn stars.
All right. Lexington Steele, Peter North,
and Ron Jeremy.
There's
Rocco?
Rocco is one. Yeah, you're right.
Hardcore?
Oh, yeah, technically.
Help, Nikki. Can you help me with another one? We're up to five.
I don't. I know there's one that recently there was some sort of contest that was an amateur contest for women.
I know who you're talking about. He's like the hipster. He's like the hipster kind of porn star.
The women sent in their amateur videos and then they got to do one with him or something, or do an amateur video with him, and that made a break for a full length film with him or something.
I know who you're talking about.
And so fuck him. If you fuck him good enough, you can fuck him longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think he had like he got like a Huffington Post writer or something like that who like agreed to do it. I'm way off target. I'm just talking on my ass. He got a blogger. Let me just say that. I don't know if it was a Huff Post writer. It was someone who like writes for like a legitimate establishment, mm-hmm. who did it and made a sex tape with him. God, I wish I could remember his name, but I sure can't. So that's five. That's
first
pretty good.
First I've heard of this. Okay. It's good.
Long story short, yeah, we know who April O'Neil is.
That's pretty good. I think that's a good time.
Including the ones that I read earlier? Okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so you don't miss the next episode. Next we'll be talking about IGN's 14th ranked game, Final Fantasy II.
Mm-hmm.
And then Other Ship Monday might be another Ready Player One, or we might have a special addendum to Final Fantasy. We'll have to see.
We'll see. We'll figure it out.
You know what we appreciate? 5-star reviews.
A lot.
A lot. They
we
help
like
us
them
a lot.
Yeah.
So if you want to help us out, please go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, write a review, and for bonus incentive, mm-hmm. that's how you can help influence the show. So if there's a game you want us to do, if there's a guest host you want us to have on an episode, if you want us to be your emergency contact, or if you need an alibi for something, all things you can do with a 5-star review. But whatever game you leave or request you make, we promise we will get to it eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about games and just games on games. We're going to be coming up with
probably
spaghetti and like Ninja Turtle rap albums. We'll come back with like McDonald's Transformer toys rap albums. Like what would the Transforming Fry rap about? I mean, that's gonna be our next big thing.
They would rap about their competition with Voltron.
God, we made Jacob have a stroke from that whole thing.
With Voltron Burger King, right? Voltron Burger King versus Transformers McDonald's. Who wins in that battle? Definitely Transformers.
Battles of history.
Yes.
In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. Check them out. We'll probably have like fucking 9 April O'Neil shots that you can check out. So go there. View our wonderful pornography library. You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit, commenting on show posts that we make, and also just generally sending us some funny-ass shit. Exalted Lord Micah Perdue put Hitler's head on a kid riding Dumbo at Disney World. That was great. And here's what's fucked up. I don't remember the shit that I say on the show because I'm happy to just read the same text messages. He posted that to my wall, and he posted it to Facebook, the Tadpog Facebook, and I was like, what the fuck is this? I'd completely forgotten that we had talked about, and that I had mentioned that Hitler, like, people make a big deal about the things that Hitler likes because it's weird because everyone likes that shit. It's like, who doesn't fucking like Dumbo and cotton candy? And then he posts this wonderful thing on my wall, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with Micah? It literally, like, 30 minutes, I saw it at work, and I was like, this is just weird. And 30 minutes later, it just was like, oh, yeah, I talked about that on the show, didn't I? So that just goes to show how much I love doing this show. I just remember so much about it. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who's retweeting. And also, I wanted to mention that I got a tweet the other day that it was just a real simple question that said, Dave, are you pooping? And I replied back, yep. So thank you for that. That made my day. I was shitting in just the worst bathroom, as everyone knows, the worst bathroom in Kentucky while I was at work. And I saw that. I was like, yep, someone's listening to us. You can call us if you want. Mm-hmm. If you do, be prepared for me to play your call like 2 or 3 times and not realize it. Or read. You can text me if you want. You can do that at 270-883-2555. We like questions a lot, but don't ask us 3 at once like Lauren Dennis did, because clearly we will not remember all of it. We'll remember like 66% of them, but you got to just count the others as just gone. If they're video game related, that's awesome. I guess if they're Ninja Turtle related, I like this Ninja Turtle kick that we're on. Just send those Ninja Turtle questions in. We love them. Also, there's going to be another episode of Manpog where it's just Meg and Nikki. So if you have like just like some really dirty, nasty pornographic shit that you want either of them to read, just text it and say, this is for Manpog, and then have your question. You're cool with that, right?
I'll read anything off there.
Oh, wow. Bold statement.
Wow.
Bold. You're going to say so many things about sexy boys. Oh, man.
Yeah.
There will be disclaimers that I am reading somebody else's words.
Okay. I think that's fair. But still, you're going to say them. You're going to be a mother soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Not giving a fuck over here. Good. I'm glad you're on board, because we don't want Meg to lose her job if she reads them. So. That's all I got.
Nikki, our theme song.
It's Moves.
By whom?
Sycamore Drive.
And where can they find a link to that track?
On your show notes, oddly enough.
Where are those?
Where's that?
Tadpog.com.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I've been listening to a lot of shows recently. Yeah.
So thanks for coming on. Yeah, we appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
I feel like we need to do your interview before you give birth, because you might be a little busier then.
Let's do your interview during birth.
Yes, okay. Please.
Can we do that? Okay. When you got that nice epidural
that would be so interesting.
And that just enormous baby is just like being just pushed out of
alien style, just trying to emerge.
It's gonna be so. I'm so not looking forward to.
You'll get the most truthful and honest answers.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm really looking forward to being a dad. I'm really not looking forward to that baby just destroying my favorite thing in the world.
You did be a raptor attack.
Yeah, it could be. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for a raptor attack.
Okay. So until next time. Tropical Capricorn!
Again, that sounded Irish. You think Nicole's gonna be mad I outed her on the gangster rap?
Will Wheaton, sexy little boy. 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 Will Wheaton, sexy little boy.